Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Welcome, New Life family and friends, listeners. It's actually Chris Williams sitting in for Steve today. I have with me Becky Brown.
Hi, Chris.
Good to see you.
Glad to see you.
Dr. Jim Burns.
Hey, Chris. Great to be with you. Always great to be with you.
Yes. Yeah, so there is this strange and frustrating thing that happens, guys. Okay, so where we seemingly do the right things. Maybe it's we're attending church, we're praying the prayers, we're doing whatever, or maybe we're in the recovery meeting, or we're doing something, but the other thing inside of us that we don't like, that keeps us stuck in patterns and keeps us stuck in behaviors that are unsavory, just seem to be untouched or at least unmoved by the things that we're doing. Mm. Becky, what's this phenomenon?
Well, you know, it's crazy making is what it is. But I'm just thinking about a caller we've talked to that went to meetings for over 20 years and nothing was changing. And so you got to wonder, what is the one thing that isn't happening? And it's not one big thing. It's a lot of things. And sometimes it's not accepting that the situation is harder than you wanted it to be, or that the other person isn't going to change. It could be that you're not willing to take the step of change, but I don't know if there's an exact label that we could slap on it, but those are some of the components.
Yeah.
It's kind of my biography. I do that all the time. You know,
yes.
I have a good friend named John Ortberg, who's a writer and a speaker, and mm-hmm. he always says, love God and do the right thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I've added, love God and do the right thing. That's his words. And then I go, and repeat daily for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, sometimes it's just about perseverance. Mm-hmm. And other times it's about tweaking it because we're trying to do the right thing. But like, for example, I'm on a diet. You mm-hmm. two didn't notice, but I have lost – well, actually, I've gained 2 pounds on my diet, okay? So the reason I've gained the 2 pounds is because I'm not doing what I know I need to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to my small group on Tuesday and saying, okay, you guys need to help me with accountability because mm-hmm. here's what I'm going to try to do, but I need to put my plan out in front. So having a habit is only part of it, and then now having a goal is part of it, now creating the habit. So I think sometimes there's something we're missing or we need
yes,
to tweak.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's oftentimes it. You know, more of an extreme example of this is like we're looking at the Titanic and we're like, is the engine room working? Is the steering wheel on? Is the, all of these things about the boat, but ignoring the iceberg and the hole.
Yeah.
Right. And so a lot of times we're not experiencing the transformation that we desire because we're not looking at the right thing or there's something much deeper going on inside of us. You know, and we see this in Scripture, especially in the New Testament. We see the desire for people wanting to make behavioral changes. Right. Mm-hmm. But God's desire is to make a heart and soul change. Sure. And to your point, Jim, that takes repeated work over and over, as I like to refer in my own life, is I need a daily conversion of Christ. Anytime there's an altar call me up. You know, I'm there.
You know, Chris, it reminds me, though, of Romans 12, 1 and 2, which is, you know, part of New Life's saying, you know, or our truth, our values is, you know, transformation. Let God change you. Change the way that you think. Renewing your mind. But the whole chapter is really a good recipe for change, you know? And I just think a lot of times we stay in the same place just expecting change to happen without any effort on our part. And it just doesn't work that way.
Absolutely. So if you're on the line right now, hang on. We'll get right to you right after this break. And I just want to say one more thing about that. Oftentimes what it takes is a trusted person to shine a light in the dark places to see the things that we're not seeing. And so let us be that for you today. Let us help you out and give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. This is Chris Williams with Dr. Jim Burns and Becky Brown. We're going to go straight to the calls. We're going to go to Gracie in Frederica, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Gracie, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Gracie, what's going on?
Oh, hi. Good to hear this conversation today. I'm sorry, my English. I'm from Brazil. My English is a little crazy, but I can speak.
Gracie, what is your first language?
Portuguese.
I'll tell you what. Yes. Your English is 1,000 times better than my Portuguese. So I commend you for that. You know, as you said, your English is crazy, not nearly as crazy as my Portuguese. So how can we help you today?
Well, this is what I say. I'm now in 2005, now, but I'm separate from my husband for almost 10 years, believe it or not, but separate from different state, because in the beginning he tried to bring so many girls in the house. No,
so many other women in the house.
Yes, yes. Oh. That's why I left him. I left him in 2013 because I'm have a new job, better job, making more money anyway. And he, I tried to talk to him, and he now agree with me and say I'm the boss and this and this. But I'm never separate from him because I love him. Now I still have, I'm Christian too. I believe God can clean up and bring him back to me.
Okay, so now, Gracie, I'm going to jump in right now because you gave us a lot of good stuff. But I'm going to challenge you something. You don't love him. That's not true. You love an idea of him that he is not.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? Because you love the idea of someone loving you, but he is incapable of doing that. But underneath all of that, you're suffering with a terrible condition called love scarcity.
Yes.
And love scarcity is the belief that there is only a very, very limited amount of love available to you in this life. And so you start with some zero, meaning it's an absolute zero, and so something is always better than nothing. And so you're settling for a one when you're a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we got some decisions to make here, right? We got some processes to do. Jim, what do you think?
Gracie, let me ask you, why have you waited? I mean, you said you still loved him, but why have you waited to not divorce him? I mean, you've been separated for 10 long years.
Because I asked him, okay, you don't want to come back home. I want to apply for divorce. And he put in my face, oh, you left me. You left me. Mm-hmm. Now, that's why he said, I don't know, it's a game or something because it's convenient for him. No, and
well, but you know, Gracie, the game is also with you because you're believing the lie that he's saying that it's on you. He has left the marriage with other women and his behavior, not willing to uphold the vows. And by you not moving forward with that line that we're going to be together, and it's going to be a monogamous relationship. It's like you've approved his behavior for all these years. And so the hard part is would be for you to say, okay, are you willing to do some marriage counseling? Are you willing to reset this relationship and let's get going and let's do some counseling? And then if not, then divorce would be the option because he's not married to you. He's with other women. He's not even honoring the vows that he made.
Yes, he have a guy right now. Like January 20 is January. His mother passed, and I go to the funeral because I love her mother. Now he's good. I spend in the hospital a few times now, and they told me the funeral is on January 21st, and I invite my friend to go with me because I say I don't want to get a surprise over there. But anyway, when I walk, he have his girlfriend with him. Now
I hate well, there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
So Gracie, mm-hmm. you're whatever you're calling love is hurting you.
Yes.
Okay. So this is going to require some work. That means wherever you learned love was a very, very broken and damaged form of love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to learn to unlearn it. Okay. Mm-hmm. It, by the way, are you listening to us on the radio?
Yes.
Can you turn that radio down just a little bit? It's just feeding back in our ears.
We always showed the Jewish worshipers.
There you go. Perfect. Thank you so much. So with that, we got to learn a new definition. And that new definition is going to be harder because it's not a mental exercise. It's a lived exercise because the first definition of love that you got was a lived experience. Does that make sense, Gracie?
Yes.
Okay.
That's quite a lot.
So with that said, Gracie, what we want you to be able to do is we want you to get into some counseling. We have some phenomenal therapists there in the Washington, D.C. area that we're going to connect you with. And so you're going to stay on the line after this call. We're going to get you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and that will kind of help you see what a healthy person in relationship looks like, as well as what an unhealthy person and relationship looks like as well. But Gracie, you are suffering what a lot of us deal with, and that is we accept a false form of love that masquerades, right? It masquerades as like, hey, I'll give you a little bit of attention, but I'll never fully commit to you. I'll never actually respect you, but I'll give you the promise of it. But it's sort of like this really cool, cruel trick that there is a carrot on the end of the stick that you can never get, but there's another stick that keeps whipping you the whole time. And those are relationships we need to get out of. So the other thing I would recommend is that if he says you left me, then agree with him. Yes, I did. Because you were never with me. You were with somebody else. You couldn't respect this. So Gracie, again, we wish you well. We're going to cheer you on. I want to encourage you to set those boundaries, get into some help. And I would say, yeah, move forward with the divorce to move beyond this if he is unwilling to do the things that it's going to require to change. So thank you so much for calling in today. And we're going to go to Anita listening. Yes, we're going to go to Anita in Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. Anita, are you there?
Yes.
All right, Anita, talk to us. What's going on today?
Okay, I have a 21-year-old, I've called you all before, and daughter, and she has been through human trafficking when she was younger.
Mm.
We sought help. We did get help. Some help, but then she stopped. She hasn't dealt with the trauma. And I was telling her, in order for you to go forward, you have to deal with your trauma.
Mm-hmm.
We can support you as a family, but that's as far as we can go.
Yeah.
And we're in the midst of moving, and I don't want the drugging or the alcohol to follow. So I was telling her, you have to make a choice. She chose to live with her boyfriend. Mm. She looked at the house. She said, I'm going to go live with my boyfriend. I can't stay here in the house, new place.
Mm-hmm.
She has two children that I have custody of. So my question is the boundaries.
Mm. Yeah.
We're really tired of stuff. We're just tired of stuff. Mm.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff.
That is a lot of stuff. Just real quickly, remind us, how did she how was she lured into human trafficking?
Well, she had a friend in high school. She would stay out. She never stayed out, and she would stay out late, then it got later and later, and then it was a day. there were 2 days. So we had truancy on, involved because she was still in school.
Yeah.
And then she stated, Ma, there was sexual abuse by our older sibling.
Mm.
And we didn't find that out until she went through the pain with the other part.
Wow.
Which is human trafficking. And
yeah.
I didn't find that out until we was going into court one day for one thing. And they told me, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Clean your house.
Yeah.
We're waiting for the judge. And I'm like, oh. And then it finally, it came out. And I'm like, as a parent, you're like, going back in time, like, where was I?
No, I know. That, I? That
where
had
wasn't
a,
I?
Yes, that had been devastating for you, for sure. Yes.
It
yeah.
was a bit much.
Yeah. Becky, what do you think?
Well, I'm wondering, Anita, what happened with the sibling that victimized her to begin with? Where did he go or what happened?
He left. He had to leave.
Okay, good.
Stated.
Okay, I'm just thinking about your grandkids, and I don't know if he's done time, but I'm just thinking about safety. Whenever you have a situation like what you're describing with your daughter, the boundaries come in. You know, we always talk about boundaries. It's like a fence around your yard. We talked about this the other day, yesterday. And you have a gate, and you open and close that gate to the things you want in and the things you want to let out. And we expect that that feels good and right. And yet, at the same time, setting boundaries and maintaining boundaries can be painful and difficult. And I think that the expectation is that your daughter would see the good that you guys have done for her and that she would make better choices. The sad part is that you're, at, you know, she's probably not, if she hasn't at this point. I'm not saying that she won't ever, but it's one of those things where you're going to say, we're going to go and we want you to get into help and we want you to live a clean, sober, healthy life. And until then, we'll take care of the kids. We'll raise them the best that we can and hope for the best. I mean, and I'm sure, I don't know if you are, Anita, but it'll require you to do some work with recovery yourself, whether it's a life recovery group or counseling. But the boundaries are, you're going to have to decide what is what you want in your house, and then you got to open and shut the door that way.
Exactly. And we had that conversation, and she's like, well, Ma, you're just going to throw me out. I said, I haven't thrown you out. It's not about throwing you out. It's about
it's her decisions.
What you need to do.
Right.
Well, you know what we're talking about, Anita, is we're talking about tough love. And tough love, because she is a 21-year-old, and believe me, it's so complicated, and I feel deeply for you. I feel deeply for her. It's not easy. But tough love says, as an adult, she's going to make a decision. And sometimes what we have to do is not ever be mean or vengeful or, you know, deep put our anger on it, but we just simply do this. We just simply allow her to experience the circumstances of her decisions. The circumstances of her decisions, you know where that's going to go. And so when you could, when you live with a tough love, you have the boundaries, yes, you express your expectations. Here's what we expect. You love on those kids, and you're doing that. God bless you for doing that. And at the same time, she's going to have to make that decision. When she crashes, I mean, I'm guessing it's not if, but someday, sometime, because of her background and all that she's doing, when she crashes, then you could possibly be that safe person. So, you know, you give the boundaries and she goes, no, you're throwing me out. Well, no, honey, I'm not. Here's the boundaries. Here's the expectations in this house. And as an adult, you can choose whether you're going to live with these or not, but it's my home. It's our kid. You know, it's, we're with these kids. If she goes, there's a chance that she's going to come back. And if she does, then she'll come back under your boundaries, and it may be the best thing for her.
Absolutely. And then there's one more thing. You know, in working with the human trafficking cases that I have, there is a brainwashing that is so profound.
Yeah.
Right? It is so profound. Yeah. I would highly recommend you get an interventionist here. And you, to get her into the treatment that she needs. As you hold to the boundaries in which you're talking about. So you hear the music, and we're going to come right back after the break, and we're going to finish up here and give you some good direction as we travel down this road. But if you're out there, you're listening, you need a therapist, we got a whole network of them. It's at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Give us a call if you need that. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're talking with Anita. And Anita, with your daughter suffering from her own childhood sexual trauma, suffering from being a victim of human trafficking, and then obviously, and I say this is not that it's automatic, but it makes sense that she would be struggling with self-medicating her pain through addictive substances. So there are so many layers here and so complicated. And to the point I wanted to make before we went to the break is that families are terrible treatment programs.
What a great statement.
We just are. We're not equipped. We're not the professionals. And so she needs a really, really strong treatment program. And that's why I recommended an interventionist. We work with interventionists here at New Life. We can easily get you connected to one. But as Becky mentioned, you know, doing your own work, because you're going to be carrying a lot. You know, there's a lot of that guilt and maybe even shame that has crept in through the suffering of your daughter and even just the pain of watching your own child go through this. Uh-huh. So getting into your own recovery program, your own therapy would be really, really good here. And Becky mentioned something really, really important as we were talking about this at the break, and that is we want to be very, very aware and responsible to the narratives we teach our children. You know, so those two little kids in your home, entrusted to your care, you know, how we talk about this, we want to be truth tellers, but we also want to shape a new narrative. You know, that yes, your mom had, you know, has struggled really deeply with some things that are inside of her, and she's unable to make good choices, unfortunately. And we are a family that is moving towards healing and health and growth so that we can become people of God's wisdom that make good choices. And you are good kids going to be making good choices. And so shaping in that direction over and reinforcing in that direction, because when these things happen in our families, what we tend to do is we parent out of reactive fear instead of proactive encouragement. And so we want
Anita. Well, and I'm wondering, Anita, does that resonate with you, or are you already doing something along that line? Where are you having difficulty in this relationship?
One is we had something called Fair Girls. They were human trafficking in D.C. An agency, and we went through that, and now Kimberly's going back to. As she stayed, back to that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what are they helping you with? But we don't know if the information is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you say stuff that sounds good. But
right. But what I'm saying, Anita, what I'm saying is in your home, you have her children. What is the story that you're telling them? Or how are you responding to their questions about their mom or just... Raising kids is hard. So you got, you know, two different things going on here. And what I want to encourage you is to get the support you need in order for you not to be in reactive grandparenting / parenting. So that your daughter does her work, you do yours, so that these children grow up with a different perspective on life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now this is what we're doing. Mom... Okay. Is not physically out of the house. We're moving any day now, waiting for an inspection. Once we leave, things put in place as far as what I just stated. Now, with the kids, it's always me since birth now.
Yeah.
Had to pick up and do what I need to do in the midst of all this other stuff. Mom is still coming and going. In the house, old address, and they get to see their mom, but it's no time with them.
Yeah,
because she's either busy trying to go wherever she's going, and she's out.
So here's, but Anita, that's what I'm saying is that there's a lot. But when you move, there's going to be a transition, and you're raising these kids, and there has to be support, and you know, conversation about We're going to take care of you. We're not leaving you.
Right. No, we're not leaving. And I wasn't okay. leaving. That's yeah. why I pushed for full custody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was joint custody just to see what mom going to do in 2019. See what she's going to do. I'm going to do this. Didn't fail through or yeah. whatever the case may have been. Then I pushed for full custody.
Yeah. That's good.
And so that's what I did.
Well,
so,
Anita, it's also really good to hear that you're connected with support and support uh-huh. groups out there that specialize in human trafficking. Again, that's why I wanted uh-huh. to connect with Anita, to see if we can get your daughter to the right place as you're working uh-huh. on parenting and guiding these two children who are also uh-huh. going through their own difficult time. We commend you for that. I mean, uh-huh. Anita, you are doing a phenomenal, phenomenal work here, and we want to support you in doing that. We're going to send you a copy of Healing as a Choice. And knowing that that will provide some pieces of the puzzle of what's needed along the journey. And we're cheering you on, friend, and praying for you, praying for your daughter and those grandchildren that you're so lovingly taking care of. Listen, we do what we do here at New Life because we get a partner with so many phenomenal people that provide financial resources to keep us going, to keep gas in the tank. And so if you're out there, and you want to give, give, because the month of May is the time to do it. Anything you give in May is going to be doubled. It's going to be matched by some other generous donors of ours. So please, if that's a consideration, if you have benefited from our ministry or see the benefit of it, please give today. You can go online at www.newlife.com to do just that. We'll be back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, it's Chris Williams. I want to mention workshop coming up. If you're a man who struggles with sexual integrity, and this is something that, you know, it's been part of my story, been part of many people's story, it's a torturous existence. And what we oftentimes don't realize is that, of course, we're hurting the people around us, but what we can't see and what we're blinded to is how much we are harming ourselves in this process. Mm-hmm. Guys, this self-harm that we're doing through our sexual acting out does not have to continue. In fact, we're going to make it really, really accessible to you in the month of May. We have our online offering of Every Man's Battle. So go to our website, www.newlife.com. It's coming up May 13th. It will be a day that will you will enter into a doorway into a new life that you can carry out from there to show up and be different, no longer harming yourselves and the people around you, that you can feel better, think better, and show up better to life and not have to deal with this hidden pain and shame that you carry around inside of you. So check that out. We also have Restored coming up. If you're a woman who has been hurt and traumatized, deeply impacted by the infidelity and sexual betrayal of a significant other in your life, then we are also offering that online June 10th. So don't suffer in silence here. There is no need for that. There is hope and healing, as we say here, hope and healing in life's hardest places. This is a hard place. Join us for those. Right now, we're going to go to Marcia in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on YouTube. Marcia, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, what's going on?
Thank you for taking my call. So I have a question for you. So I am part of a Facebook
group of women. And it's a Christian group. And today, earlier today, someone, one of the ladies posted that this past Sunday she was assaulted. And she is very angry, and she said during the assault, while it was happening, you know, she was praying to God and just asking him to not to let this person assault her. And she had other issues going on as well, she listed. But it happened anyway, and she's so angry, and she's thinking that, you know, God doesn't love her, he didn't answer her prayer, why did he allow this to happen? So she's struggling there. And I want to you know, people are putting their input in the comments, and I want to, but I needed some help. I needed some verbiage. I needed to know how to answer, but also to give her some hope, you know, that God, even though this horrible thing happened to her, that, you know,
was she assaulted in the context of her church community?
No. She was walking and she was sexually assaulted.
That's brutal.
She was on a walk and a guy grabbed her from behind and sexually assaulted her.
Yeah.
Did she report it to Marcia?
So she didn't elaborate in her post, you know, what steps she took. She was just, you know, venting about, you know, having so much faith, and then, you know, this happened to her, this bad thing happened to her. So
why do bad things happen to good people? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted to comment, but I just wanted to be careful, you know, as to what to say. I didn't want to just spiritualize it. I want to also, you know, let her know that, I don't know, I just reach out to you people because I know you always have the right answers.
Well, Marcia, I want to commend you for your wisdom. There is deep godly wisdom here in not rushing to an answer. We see this in the book of Job. Job's friends were fantastic the first 7 days. They didn't say a word, but they showed up with their presence. And their presence was the communication of care and love in a very difficult and painful situation. They got in trouble when they opened up their mouths and they tried to speak for God where God had not spoken. We call that using the Lord's name in vain. Now, oftentimes, we're not doing this intentionally, but oftentimes we're uncomfortable with the pain and suffering that doesn't make sense. So we jump to explanation to explain it away rather than to love it as it's suffering. Another thing that we like to do is that we see people angry with God and we get uncomfortable with that, and we try then, like Job's friends, to tell them why they have no right to be angry with God, where God did not say that, right? Because anger I want to get some help from my friends here in the studio today, but I do want to say this. Anger is our God-given response to suffering and injustice in the world. I want to say that again. It's our God-given response. Now, the Bible gives warnings on just a couple of emotional experiences, and anger is one of them, right? Don't sin in your anger. Don't let the sun go down. There's a lot of boundaries. Don't be easily angered, because we can do a lot of sin. We can do a lot of harm out of our anger, but it doesn't say don't be angry. You know, and we see that God gets angry because of injustice in the world. So, yeah.
You know, Marcia, I was thinking that sometimes Facebook groups also, you know, they mean well, totally, and every person who's in that Facebook group does mean well. But, you know, what he's saying is, I call this the power of being there. You know, one thing you may want to think about is if she's in the area, she may really appreciate just you coming by, stopping by. You know, I think people regard your very presence as a sign of caring and connectedness. And sometimes you don't have to say you want to say a word, but you don't have to say always the right words. I had an experience once in my own life where a young woman talked about being abused, and she was in a room with her youth pastor, And I had no idea what to say. And all of a sudden, I just started to tear up. And I said, can I just pray for you? And then we all teared up. And this young girl said later that in the moment of tears, she remembered a scripture that she had that Jesus wept, shortest verse in the Bible, right? And she said, you know, I just sensed that, you know, I'm not calling Jim or, you know, the youth worker Jesus, but in the tears, through the tears, she said she felt a healing. Mm. And she still need to work through some of the process, of course. But sometimes what you can do is not have to give the right great answer. We live in a fallen world. It's a horrible fallen world. And so what I think sometimes what we need to do is saddle up next to him, show him love, show him empathy, show him care, and then point him in the direction to go get the help and healing. That's why we are here at New Life. But for you as a friend, she needs to know you feel her pain.
The presence can be experienced, Marcia, just by you saying, I am so sorry that this happened to you. And I am praying for strength and healing. Yeah. And the reason why I asked if she had reported it, because that's part of it. So many women who experience assault they feel so much shame as if, this is something that they chose, and it isn't. But they need the help and the support to report these things, to make sure that she's okay from the trauma that she just experienced. The question of God's love for her or God allowing this to happen has been asked by so many people over the centuries. That's why Chris is talking about Job. And, you know, you're right. You do want to be careful with your response, but I think I'm so sorry. I'm praying for you. I hear you. And if there's anything you need, you know, DM me and I'll, you know, we'll connect. But I just think presence is the answer.
Hey, we need a lot more Marshas out there.
Yep.
That take a pause, that understand the gravity of the situation and seek counsel and wisdom. And Marcia, just, you know, all I can do is just echo exactly what Becky has said. And what I would do, I would not post on the comments. I would send a direct message on DM to her. You know, and again, giving your phone number and just saying, I am so sorry. I wish I had words, but I don't. I just feel so heartbroken for you. But I'm here for you. Give me a call. I'd love to grab coffee again, if it's possible, if she's in that area.
Because it's so good, because you guys have this group where you feel supported. But as we're experiencing these technological connections, there's got to be something deeper, and that's why you're so invested in her. And I love that idea, Chris. You know, the direct message is a good way to go.
Yeah, and that's for all of us out there. When we're encountering people with deep suffering that feels beyond our ability to care well for, and I give this counsel to pastors all the time. You overestimate your words and underestimate your presence. Let's reverse that. You need to value the communication of love through your presence and know that your words are very limited. You know, God created us as connected beings, and that connection is significant. So thank you, Marcia.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and we are going to go straight to the phones. We're going to try to get one more call in there. We're going to go to Thomas in Los Angeles, California, listening on YouTube. Thomas in LA, how are you doing today, man?
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm doing good. How can we help you?
Yes, please. We are divorced. I have two kids. My daughter, she's 24 years old, and my son, 18 years old, and I end up facing financial issue, and my daughter, she doesn't understand, she doesn't want to hear it, and not either my ex.
Okay, so go back to, I'm so sorry, Thomas, I didn't quite catch that. So you ran into a financial issue, and then what?
I live in an apartment, and they live in my house.
Uh-huh.
So I'm now opening my house for sale. And my daughter, she's not happy, and my son is not happy. They both are angry, like, because I'm selling the house. And my ex, she goes to me, if you want, you could, but you don't want to. I said, no, I'm just telling you the truth. I can keep borrowing money, and I cannot make it anymore.
Yeah. So selling the house becomes necessary for your financial well-being.
Correct.
Yeah. But reasonably, your children are pretty upset about that.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you know what, Thomas? First of all, I want to say thanks for watching on YouTube. We love our YouTube family. But Thomas, here's the thing: they're old enough to have an adult conversation about this. Like, we're not talking about 12-year-olds that, you know, you're responsible for. I don't know what the arrangement was, but, you know, this is the difficulty of divorce, right? It's like, you know, it's financial, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's all of that. You know, and they're going to be upset. But I think that whatever the discussion is, this is an adult conversation for the whole family, even though that there is a divorce. And, you know, give them enough time for them to find a place to live and for you to work this out with them financially. I don't know what their expectations are, but I think it's a bigger conversation. I don't know, Jim, have you heard anything like this before?
All the time. You know, it's the, you know, what happens is when we are going in debt or when we're struggling, you know, we call it, of course, the money pit. And so I think it's very important, Thomas, and I think you said it, Becky, is we sit down, we have an adult to an adult conversation. Now, sometimes when they're the age of your kids, they're really young adults. We call them emerging adults. But a lot of times they're going to want to move back into younger stage the way they're going to treat you and talk to you. But you want to talk to them as an adult and say, you know, I've looked at all the options. Be very logical. And don't expect them to go, yay. It's like when your kids were 16. Right. And your kids were 16 and they said, you know, they said they wanted something and you go, hey, I'm in charge. This is it. You know, well, this is kind of the case with them. Mm-hmm. OK. And so I think it's really important that you have that story, you know, where you just sit down and do that. You know, and again, I actually talk about this in the book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. Keep Your Mouth Shut and the Welcome Mat Out. I actually have a chapter on finances. And, you know, part of it is, you know, not taking care of our adult children. Their job is to become responsible adults, but also to become responsible with finances. And they're going to see you being responsible because you can't do anything but sell the house. That's the long run. And that's important for you to be able to do.
You know, the other aspect of this, Thomas, is that it's not just the selling of the house. It's what the house represents. You know, for whatever, we don't know the details of the story, but however the divorce happened, and the family that started is not the family that is, but that house represents the family that was. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of loss in there. What the house does is it can represent that a tangible representation. That's really important. It's a tangible representation of that loss, as it was maybe a tangible representation of what was. And that's really, really hard. And you know, speaking to the young adults, the emerging adults, I some of my own very different circumstances in there. But I just remember my parents moving out of my childhood home, you know, and you know, it was my mom, my stepdad, and I felt a deep loss in that. Yeah. I felt like man, it had played such a significant part. So just I want you to be graceful with your children, but again, to have those honest and open conversations with them about that.
It's interesting, though, Chris, even like you just said, we all will leave our home of origin for many different reasons. And so there will be grief. So it gets mixed in with the realities of life. And we as individuals, your kids, you, your ex-wife, all of us have to build in that resilience of bad things will happen, but I have resources to work through this. And what do I need to do in order to make this change, this transition, and how do I maintain relationship in this transition. And, you know, that's where the work is. But I'm not sure what book you're going to refer to, Thomas, but I'm curious.
Well, we're definitely going to refer Doing Life with Your Adult Children.
That's a perfect one.
So we're gonna send you Jim's book. And I want to mention one more thing about this. I was actually doing some writing in the book that I've been working on this. And on the other side of loss, we don't talk about something that I think God has given us that is critically, critically important. And that is our creativity, our ability to make something new. And I think this is an essential transition for any young adult out there or any person that has gone through a divorce, any person who has loved a loved one, is that, yes, we grieve, but we're not like those who grieve without hope. But some of that hope is wrapped up into, and now what? And now what is an important question, because I think it requires us a new level of what I call empowered creativity, is that God is working with us to make something new. In each loss or in each challenge that human beings have encountered throughout human history, you know, just in our lifetime, it, you know, HIV/AIDS was a death sentence. But through human ingenuity and creativity, it is no longer that. It is remarkable the amount of creativity that God has put in us. And it's hard and it's scary and it's challenging. But I think that one of the things that we need to be instilling in the younger people, the younger generations, is just that, a renewed sense of ingenuity and hope and creativity and working with the things around you. And that's what we become really dangerous about, a consumer culture where we're just takers, but we need to know there is so much more joy and excitement and possibility and impact in being contributors and creators.
I love that. Hey, Thomas. You know what? There's a light at the end of the tunnel too, because you know they are going to go through that grief, but you know there's something on the other side. It's exactly what Chris was saying, and you know what? You're going to model that for them, and you want to be around people because you have a loss too.
Yeah.
So all these people are giving you know your ex and your kids are saying no, but you're making a good decision. So if I was your friend and we're having coffee, I'd go, you know what? It's a bummer that they don't like it, but you're still making the best decision you can make for your financial good. And actually, that ends up being the good for the family as well. So get around some people, tell them that story, and they're going to say, good job, Thomas, for being a good steward of your money.
Well, and I'm gonna take a note from Steve, and I'm going to also send you a copy of the book Trust. If you donate anything in the month, or no, I guess that was April, but if you donate anything in May, it'll be doubled. Thank you so much for being with us today, and stick with us, and you have a blessed day.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.